This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
In his Charlie Brown Christmas Snoopy Christmas sweater on this Monday morning, December 23rd, 2024, welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom. Carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network, 7:06 on this Monday morning, December 23rd. And coming up this hour, we're going to talk about the difference between kumbaya and capitulation. In this end-of-the-year environment, there's a lot of talk. I would even say there's wishful thinking about bridging our differences, especially after a divisive election year. But we're going to talk about there's a difference between behaving yourself over holiday dinner with your family versus civic engagement. And this is no time for folks to walk away from the values that they've fought for, especially if they're concerned about the direction of this country. So we'll have that discussion later this hour with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is here, along with Up North News reporter Selena Heller and Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And we're going to start with Brittany because, well, we're supposed to at 7:07, but because things could get a little bit icky out there on the roadways. And so Brittany's going to tell us what we can expect as some folks get set to do their big drives for the holiday week. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, goodness. So we have a winter weather advisory across pretty much a good chunk of the state. The only one who doesn't is northwestern areas. So we do have this front moving in, a whole low pressure system. It's kind of a weak one, but it's bringing in some warmer temperatures out ahead of it. So we are flirting with the freezing mark for a lot of places, especially into central Wisconsin. So what's going to happen as this moves through is we're already seeing light snow out there, but a light glaze of ice is definitely possible too with these temperatures. So a wintry mix of freezing rain, and flipping all to snow as we go through later on this afternoon. And some of it could be heavy at times, especially spanning from, I think, probably the Dells into Fond du Lac and maybe even Sheboygan. You could see up to 3 inches accumulate after a light glaze of ice. Now, some areas where you could see some decent icing accumulating, probably in towards La Crosse. So keep that in mind if you're hitting the road, especially those ramps, those side roads, even your sidewalks too, as you step out, just be careful. This will wind down by 5-6 o'clock this afternoon or evening. Kick on out of here. We have a calm day tomorrow and also on Christmas too. We'll see more sunshine on Christmas Eve day. But then as we go into Christmas, we are looking at mostly cloudy skies with a chance of more freezing drizzle moving in by Christmas night. Hopefully that'll be through those overnight hours, because after that, we really warm things up above freezing into the 40s for the entire weekend with a bunch of rain on the way.
Wow. Rob Rice, good morning from Tigerton. It is cloudy and 29, getting ready to plow and salt later on. Yesterday, I finished up my Christmas shopping in Wausau. I went to Barnes & Noble, got my 2025 Rand McNally Road Atlas. Well, somebody's still using those. You can see, it's not everybody's using their phones for this. I love highways, and that's my favorite book. And as a fellow map nerd, I say good for you, Rob. Also, that same day as the Immaculate Reception by Franco Harris that we talked about last segment, Roger Staubach came off the bench down 28-13 to lead the Dallas Cowboys to a 30-28 victory. I was a Roger Staubach fan in the 1970s for his courage of coming back from some kind of I don't know what, because he ran out of characters that he's allowed to put on the screen here. But he does put in another entry that says, "I'm happy because 5 of the best people in media are on a Monday before Christmas. You all are the best. Thank you for all you do."
Aww.
Thanks. Rob, you're the best.
Thanks for what you do.
I want an affirmation on what Brittany said about the freezing drizzle. I'm hoping Dr. Lyerly is listening because she has a big drive ahead of her. The bridge decks are the things that get slick first. And I recall this because I was producing the new news at the time at Channel 13, and I'm in the control room, and I get this call, and it turned out Sherry had been involved in an accident, again, because of an icy bridge deck. And I mean, it destroyed the Ford Explorer that she was driving at the time. But I didn't know that because the nurse says, "This is so-and-so at the hospital. My wife or your wife's been instructed for me to tell you that she's been involved in a minor rollover." A minor rollover. There is no such thing. I, of course, you know.
What's the New York Times writing that one? Hey.
But she's like, "Oh, I don't want to disturb him. Don't just tell him it was a minor rollover."
So no. Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
No. Totaled SUV. Watch out for the bridge decks, Brittany. Yes. Affirmation on that. Kristen,
absolutely.
Be careful on the bridge decks and use proper traffic terminology if you get into any kind of a fender bender.
And I'll be checking in with Rob for the conditions in Shawano County.
Yes, we'll definitely need that. All right. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
All right. 7:12 right now is the time. And let's get just a little bit of sports here because the Green Bay Packers are playing tonight. And you can hear that game against the New Orleans Saints from Lambeau Field. Pregame starting at 5 on Civic Media Stations WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. The Milwaukee Bucks play in Chicago tonight against the Bulls. Selena, what is the what is the setup here for the clip that we're about to play of your lovely daughter?
We were at a birthday party at the local Elks Club.
Again? How many times do you take your daughter to the Elks Club?
There's a lot of functions. We saw Santa at the Elks Club. We do a lot of activities there. We had a fish fry. She helped serve at the fish fry and take orders. She's kind of the person that she's learning how to take these fish fry orders.
I feel like we got to look ahead instead of a flashback. Flash ahead to Emery, you know, age 73 years old at the Elks Club. My ma started taking me here when I was 4 years old. I had to sing for my supper.
I was the youngest member at 11.
Yeah. She knows all the activities. She can do it.
Yeah. Well, clearly she does. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there was this microphone.
Yeah, there's a birthday party, and they had their regular karaoke person up there doing karaoke, and she's like, "Well, I want to do that." And so she went up with my friend at first, and then after a few, I mean, she got Taylor Swift, she was doing more and more, and she's like, "All right, I want to go by myself." And I was like, "Really? Are you sure?" And she said, "Yep, I'm going by myself."
And listen to that. Listen to her going up by herself. Selena is holding back. She only gave us the first 50 seconds of the song. So, Emery, take it away.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll and no dinky dinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind him too. He won't have to use a dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning, creeping down the stairs. Oh, joy, what's the surprise when I open up my eyes and see a hippo hero standing.
And that's all Selena was willing to share with us, probably because of licensing issues. But how great was that? Kristen, yeah. Kristen really wanted to sing a Christmas song, but I said, you have to go by Emery gets to go first. So Kristen, you want to fill in the rest of the song? Maybe?
No, that is absolutely adorable.
Go on.
I was going to say, you can absolutely tell that her mother is a musical theater kid.
Yes.
I don't sing, though, so.
I don't know where she gets it from.
No idea. None at all. How she knows this thing about vibrato and pitch and everything else.
We were just all looking at each other like, wow. Okay, well, and everybody cheered, the whole Elks Club, you know, was clapping and cheering afterwards, and she had a big smile on her face.
That's fantastic.
Perfect. That's great. Although you did cause me a split second heart attack when you were setting that up and saying how she'd been up there, and then you started to say after a few, And then you said songs. Yeah, a few more songs. I'm just like, no.
Because that's
some of us only get to that karaoke microphone with a few shots of Liquid Courage. You
know? Another brandy old fashion. I'm gonna sing. You don't bring me flowers anymore.
Oh, that was wonderful, Kristen. You sing at every commercial break here and whenever. Do you go caroling?
No, but I do have a special Christmas song.
What is your special Christmas song?
It's the it's a song I sing to my family every year, and they're used to it and they expect it. And I'd like to sing it for you right now. Please.
Greg.
No, they expect it. They're used to it. They have no choice.
They're like, here goes mom again. Okay.
All right. All right. Dr. Lyerly, give us, please, your special holiday song.
Do, 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 do. Christmas, Christmas town is near. Town for tolls and town for cheer.
Awesome.
It's the whole song. I won't sing it.
What? Wait, everybody's cutting off after half a song here. Like we needed to discover that you have another talent now.
Do you want me to sing it through the hula hoop part? That's the really good part.
Yeah.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
The hula hoop part is the best.
Rules bound girl, but rules can't last. Merry Christmas, Harry Fast. Runs up on the loop, the loop. I messed it up. Move around.
Well, that was good.
Classic. Can hardly my God. Christmas, don't be
do you sing that while you're doing like you're doing like procedures or whatever? You're like open up your mouth. Yeah. Open it up, say ah, and you're just like singing that to them.
You know,
fetching
this baby through a C-section, and that's the first thing the baby hears is,
I'm going to need you to push, and then I bust out into that. Like, push harder, push.
Well, it's easy to push when you're laughing that hard. It just pushes down on your diaphragm that way.
That's the trick. If you can make somebody laugh, it's actually pushing, and then their baby can come into the world with laughter.
So you're saying I should show up to those procedures with a microphone telling my jokes.
Telling jokes, yes.
We are onto something here.
There you go.
Oh my God.
The new service.
The laughing tap labor and delivery. Yes. Oh my goodness.
The laughing tap.
Just did not expect any of this stuff to come up today. When we come back, Selena Heller in more of a reporter role, talking about funding special education, and maybe that's one bipartisan thing the legislature will get done when they convene next month. And then Kristen sticks around as well, and we talk about coming together, but still fighting for your values as well. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network and karaoke.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Kristen Lyerly, as the Chipmunks, sings the Eagles.
Bells will be ringing.
What happened there?
I really didn't think you'd take the bait and go with that.
Really? You asked really? Me to do that and you didn't think I'd take the bait?
Yeah.
Have you met me?
Okay, I set that one up perfectly, if I do say so myself. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Monday, December 23rd. Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach, Selena Heller all here as well. And Selena, in all of her many stories that she reports for us, brings us one today about how the state legislature is still going to be led by Republicans. Of course, Tony Evers, a Democrat in the governor's office. All of the indications from Republican leadership is that even with their much smaller majority, they're still not in any frame of mind. They say, well, I hope we're more cooperative, but it's clear from their positions they're not really looking to do that. But we may have found one issue where you could see some bipartisan cooperation, and that is in one particular area of school funding, Selena. So tell us a bit more about your conversations with the superintendent in Eau Claire, who, by the way, is not the Speaker of the House. They have the same name, but yeah, we're talking about the Eau Claire superintendent here.
A different Mike Johnson, yes. Yep. And really, I've talked to so many superintendents across the state. And when I've talked to them about other issues, so many different issues going on in school districts over the last year. But this is one they bring up, and I don't even prompt them to talk about it. So it's special education reimbursement right now. They get about 31% of every dollar reimbursed back to them from the state. So that means the rest is funded by local property tax dollars. So and to the tune of about, it's more than $1 billion every year, kind of extra. And I was at Sam Davey Elementary School one of the days, and that's here in Eau Claire. And I talked to a special ed teacher also, and just talked about, you know, how important those special ed kids are. And then I talked to also Mike Johnson, who is the Eau Claire Area School Superintendent, and talked about how the budget comes up really short and for the district, and what his thoughts are on that.
These are neediest children, and we're proud to serve them. But when it's a reimbursement rate, when in Eau Claire, we are transferring $19 million into Fund 27 to cover those costs out of our Fund 10, our general operating fund. And to go to 60% would approximately be $9.5 million a year over the past 2 years to be able to do that. I do believe that what I know across the state, but especially in our region, but across the state after our referendum passed, and to understand that the majority of our districts in the state may not have had to go to referendum in 2024 for operating expenses if that 60% were fulfilled.
And Superintendent Jill Underley wants to get that up by 2027 to 90% reimbursement. So,
Well, Selena, why is that 90% significant? It sounds familiar. 90% reimbursement for special education costs.
Kind of to match what private schools get is 90%.
Oh, that's right. That same Republican legislature that has set up about 31% reimbursement for special education costs for public schools reimburses voucher schools. Private voucher schools at a 90% rate. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that the legislature will necessarily get up there. They certainly slashed what Governor Evers was asking for 2 years ago. But I mean, Superintendent Johnson, he clearly gets that if the legislature were to do more of the state's fair share, there wouldn't be quite as much, you know, contentiousness, especially leading to referendums.
Exactly. It would kind of lower the referendums that we see across the state going on, he suggests, and that's what a lot of superintendents suggest. So here is Mike Johnson talking about that.
This is a critical time for our state, with over a third of our districts having to go to an operational referendum in 2024. We cannot continue to pit our school districts and our school boards and our administration against the taxpayer. It's very difficult. It shouldn't have to be done. And there's got to be a better way. And we know that the better way is to work with the legislature to share our concerns and to get that action.
So we'll see if that comes up. But I will say that from a comment standpoint, certainly you've heard what you've heard, Selena. We've mentioned on our show several times. Alicia Saunders writes in from her time running for legislature that special education reimbursement was one of the top issues superintendents would talk to me about on the campaign trail. I'm quite certain Dr. Lyerly agrees.
Superintendent Johnson mentioned that a third of the districts in the state had to go to an operational referendum. What is an operational referendum, and why is that so important and frankly disgusting?
Selena, you want to take that one?
Well, gosh, operational referendums are just to, like we usually say all the time, keep the lights on.
Keep the lights on. Nothing new, not some capital expenditure, not a new building, not a new computer lab, not even a new furnace. This is just to continue the cost of current operations of having to go to property taxpayers and say, please raise your own taxes. And the school district can't say it, but I do. you know, because it's a lazy legislature that will not hold up its share of state funding for public schools. And Kristen, I appreciate the question, but I know you hear that plenty up in your neck of the woods.
Oh, for sure. We just had one in De Pere where my kids go to school. And I find it shocking that a third of our schools can't function on the money that they've got, and they have to go back begging to the taxpayers for more money, as you said, Selena, to keep the lights on and the doors open. That is shocking.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of why, along with fair maps, you saw, you know, Republicans lose, 10 seats in the assembly. They lost all four or five of the key Senate elections this time around. But again, with a Republican majority, albeit thinner, the question now becomes, and Selena, we don't know the answer to this, but this is what everybody will be watching, is what will the governor propose? What do Republicans come back with? Usually they come back with zero to everything that Governor Evers says. Mm-hmm. But any idea if Johnson and others are have at least some optimism for this next session?
I think so. And he said, you know, we always communicate, and that's kind of our ticket, is this communication, and let them know what we need and why, and hopefully it'll work this time. And he just says he's hopeful that when they go and talk to them, they'll kind of make them understand the vital piece of this.
Very nice. Selena Heller, thank you so much for that. And we'll take a break here, because when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about the holiday season and, you know, the need for peace on earth, goodwill toward mankind, at least over the holiday table. In our politics, that can go back and forth. We'll talk about the current climate next. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We wanted to take a little bit of time to talk here during the holiday season and at the end of a very contentious year about how we deal with each other as United States of America. And I mean, nobody's fooling anybody. The amount of disharmony, the amount of how much we are the disunited states, hasn't been this bad in a very long time. There are ways that we can overcome that. There are ways that we can be better to one another. But that's not the same. What was the title of the episode here? Kumbaya is not the same as capitulation. And this was really sparked by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and catching a recent episode of Meet the Press and saying, let's continue this part of the conversation so that people understand about being better behaved in interpersonal relationships. But that's not the same as civic engagement, where, frankly, Kristen, I don't know that there's ever been a more important time for folks to stay engaged in one form or another, especially if they are concerned about the direction this country is moving in.
I couldn't agree more with you, Pat. And if there's one thing that I've been hearing from people who supported my campaign and people who share my beliefs, it's that they feel sad and demoralized, and they're wondering what direction the country is going in and who they can talk to. And I feel like, and I feel the same way in many ways, but I also feel like we've got to continue on this steady path. We've got to be strong and consistent and keep relationships at the core of the work that we're doing. But think about the bigger picture. How can we help each other? How can we fund our schools? How can we make sure people have access to healthcare? All of these other problems that, frankly, and we've been seeing this in Wisconsin for a long time, our leaders have not invested in the people. And on a federal level, we're about to see this as well.
We really are. And the Meet the Press episode included two United States senators who are both ordained ministers or pastors. They are James Lankford from Oklahoma, a Republican, and Raphael Warnock, a Democrat from Georgia. And it was a fairly nice discussion. But then there was the panel discussion afterwards with reporters or analysts or what have you. And that was the part I think that didn't sit well with you or me, is that there are so many folks saying in so many words, well, they won the election, they should get to do whatever they want. And that's capitulation. And if you think some of the things that are about to be proposed or enacted are really bad or dangerous, this is really not a time to roll over.
No, please don't roll over. These are not normal times. My favorite part of that episode, and I did not like that episode at all, because it identified the problem and then they tiptoed around the fact that we do not have leadership that is bringing us together. Doris Kearns Goodwin talked about it. If you're familiar with her, she is a presidential scholar. She's brilliant. She talked about how our country has been divided in the past. Thomas Jefferson, in his inaugural address, talked about, we are not this party or that party. We are all Americans and we need to come together. FDR famously did that in his first inaugural speech when he said, all we need is fear itself. That whole, I'm so bad at quotes, but we have, yeah, it's the leadership that we see from the executive branch is so critical, but nobody had the courage throughout this entire episode to say that is not coming from the federal branch this time. And I think that's the thing that's scaring so many of us.
Right. I mean, it's one thing for in a concession speech to say, all right, let's all, you know, do the best we can going forward. And it's another thing for the winners to say, let's all come together. Now that I've won, let's come together and heal. And Donald Trump has said the same thing. Let's end the divisions. But it's what you do after those words. That's what's so important, and not avoiding it. One of the panelists, I forget which one, but his words were, well, I'm not going to convince you and you're not going to convince me. So basically, let's just avoid talking about it.
No. Okay.
Again, if you decide that for one day over, you know, family dinner, you don't. Fine. That's, you know, do what you've got to do for family relationships and personal relationships and all of that. But to say, like, to say Democratic members of Congress, let's just avoid this stuff and, you know, let them do what they're going to do. No, this
no.
is especially, and let me put it this way. I frankly want to, I'm not trying to put a positive spin on polarization. Don't get me wrong, but I really do see something almost healthy about it in terms of our nation's full history. I see what some people see now as polarization, as rooted in folks on the left finally deciding not to just roll over when injustice asserts itself. We now stand up for the oppressed. We stand up for women. We stand up for communities of color. We stand up for our LGBTQ communities. We stand up for immigrants. We stand up against those trying to steal an election. We stand up against corruption. We stand up against broken promises. When for generations, when this kind of thing happened, this kind of bullying or this kind of corruption, folks felt powerless. But now they feel like they can find fellow allies like never before. And so people say, oh, we're more divided. No, I think actually it's just that more people who are sick of what they're seeing are good with standing up now and saying this is wrong.
We have to stand up. That doesn't mean that we have to be mean to each other or we have to be aggressive or do something drastic, but we have to stand up for what we believe in. There was a great article in the New York Times about a woman who does a lot of community work in Northern Arizona in a very, very red district, county, and how she felt after the election, before and after the election. I mean, this is somebody who helps homeless people, who was feeding people who otherwise can't afford food in the Christmas season. And she was up against people who were selling Trump Bibles. And with this ugliness that a lot of us are seeing, this culture war, and, you know, this woman is feeling demoralized and like, all the work that I'm doing isn't making a difference, but it is. it is making a difference. And you may not be feeling it right now, and you may not be seeing it in the world, but maybe it's just one person at a time. That's how I feel when I'm in the exam room. It's one person at a time. And maybe you can reach two people here, and maybe you can talk to everybody across the state of Wisconsin on a show like this. There are ways for us to be able to stand up, be courageous, stand up for each other, and get through this, because we will get through this. This is a moment in time. But if we back down, if we are afraid to stand for what we believe in, we'll lose it. And we will lose it.
And let's remember that, again, in the whole long arc of history thing, you may not be around when we finally reach a certain point that you and I might be fighting for. In other words, a whole lot of people fought for women's suffrage, and they, in their lifetimes, they didn't see it. They passed away before the 19th Amendment. Plenty of people fighting for civil rights were gone by the time the Civil Rights Act came up. But that doesn't mean you weren't part of the eventual victory. Another point that was made was we were kind of lectured to, like, well, you know, the election's over and we should listen to the people, you know, because 77 million people voted for Donald Trump and 75 million people voted for Kamala Harris, which, by the way, kids, not a mandate. One of the closest elections overall in U.S. history. So hardly a mandate. We are a closely divided nation. So we're told, listen to the people. But here's the thing, and Sherry mentioned this as we were listening to the Meet the Press episode. Part of the frustration and the polarization is that politicians aren't listening to people. It's not that we're supposed to listen to people who are anti-trans and somehow understand them. No, the people are overwhelmingly in favor of women having control over their own bodies. Yes. People are overwhelmingly in favor of basic gun safety measures. They're in favor of legal and reformed immigration. They're in favor of our public schools. They are in favor of democracy. And it's the fact that we have a group that's in control, thanks to a whole lot of corporate money in politics, by the way. They're the ones not listening to the people, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're completely right. And even just because somebody voted for Donald Trump doesn't mean that they voted for all the things that Trump stands for. And a great example is an interview that I saw recently with a farmer in South Dakota who runs a giant dairy farming outfit. And he was asked, what about these mass deportations? How is this going to affect your business? And he said, oh, that's not going to happen. I mean, this is the guy who voted for Trump. And Trump has obviously talked a lot about mass deportations, but the farmer said, well, Trump knows that that would shut down my business and then people wouldn't get food. So he's not going to do that. That was just a threat. So keep in mind that on an individual basis, all of those policy pieces, which are also in many ways culture war nuggets, people don't necessarily believe in all of those things. And if you go back to the issues and the values and the common ground that we share as individuals, we share so much more than the stuff that divides us.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the great challenges of looking back at 2024 will be how did people say that Democrats were all waging culture wars and that they were all about, you know, representing, again, the trans community more than hardworking people, when the fact of the matter is it wasn't Democrats who brought these things up. It was Democrats pushing back against bullying, pushing back against discriminatory legislation. And in so doing, in responding to that hate and injustice, suddenly it was, oh, Democrats are only the party of all these various special interest groups. No, they were actually trying to stand up for everybody, having everybody treated with equality and justice, and then somehow got tagged as, you know, that they led with these things. No, the culture war is very much being fought by people who don't necessarily believe in that cause. But it helps them win elections so that they can do the things they want to do, slash taxes for the very wealthy, get rid of, you know, any regulations that they don't like. And that's what we're going to see going forward. We're not going to see nearly as much, you know, culture war legislation. It's really, look out for your pocketbooks, folks.
Hey, and let's be very honest, the role of the media is incredibly significant. I had a TV problem in my hotel room the other day, so all I could get was Fox News. And I thought, hey, okay, I watch it from time to time. They could not stop talking about how Joe Biden's condition continues to deteriorate. And I thought, okay, there was this incident in Germany, and there's the continuing resolution that we're voting on. Like, there is real news that's happening in the world, and all they can talk about is Joe Biden's condition. These media channels that people are tuning into and believing, that's all they can see. That's all they know. There's a role here.
It is all they know. And when that's all you get, mm-hmm. then you end up putting weird stuff up on YouTube. Like this person here puts, how many acts of treason in capital letters is the Biden administration allowed to commit? To this person, for your own safety, change the channel. Change the channel.
Well, how many have they said they've committed? Fox. Yeah,
tell me more about that.
Yeah, tell me more about this treason. Yeah. Yes.
All this treason.
but when that's all you've heard, you know, so we're told, listen to the people. Well, the people who are getting fed misinformation, I'm not looking to hear them parrot back the misinformation that they're getting. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in moving the needle of public opinion so mm-hmm. that some folks get out of that misinformation bubble and actually hear the truth about the economy, the truth about standing up for democracy and against discrimination, you know, the truth about who's actually creating jobs in this country and so forth. And so that's why I think it's so important for good people to run for office, for other good people to be, you know, messengers out there in the media or elsewhere. We talked last week about community organizers and how they need to operate year round more than ever. And Kristen, the fact that you're off an election loss, you've lost two elections, I've lost two elections, and that we're still here doing this, you know, isn't a vanity project. It's mm-hmm. because these are the values that are always worth talking about and working toward.
I am not in this to hold an elected position. No. If I get elected because that is the right thing, great. I am in this because I want to make a difference. I want to be effective. I want to use my talents to do the most good that I can do for people in the world. And if that means I'm helping other people win their elections, great. If that means I'm helping elected officials with information that they need so that they can make great decisions for the people, great. I don't care. I just want us all to be able to afford food and to be with the people we love and to be healthy and get an education. Like all of those things that we should be able to have in this, the wealthiest country on earth. That's the objective here. Not winning a culture war. Yeah.
No, not at all. And finally, Tony adds in, he wants to be part of the club. Greg, any interest in also losing two elections?
I got elected to student council when I was in sixth grade. Then I bowed out for the rest. I'm like, I'm finishing on top, people.
Undefeated. Yep, go out on top. More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jane says. People say to me all the time, they say, Pat, I say, what? They say, what is it that makes Jane Mattinair such a broadcast legend and so professional? It's, I say to them, that she will walk into the studio with 8 seconds to spare, and it will be as if she was here for the full 2 hours and not miss a beat in the conversation. Ms. Mattinair, good morning to you.
Good morning. I completely forgot. I did. I was in the back and I got here early this morning and I was in the back prepping and Greg just texted me and I'm like, oh my God, yes. Oh, hello.
People say to me, Pat, what is it that makes Jane Mattinair such a professional? I go, it's her memory. It's, that's it. It's her honesty.
My memory. Yes.
Tony reminds us, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, this look that they have every week where Jane's right behind Greg as if posing for the awkward JCPenney family photos or something, is just wonderful.
This is the setup we have.
Yeah.
Yep. Everybody, Alicia says, we think you're awesome. She also says, regards to our last segment, we're going to flip the state legislature in 2026. So
I like that. Yep.
I like that very much.
I also like the idea of the awkward family photo for your next promo.
Yep. There it is.
Oh, I love God. It.
Yep, yeah. Just got to get you matchy-matchy outfits.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, before we talk about what's on Jane's show today, let's make note about this show a week from today, Monday, and Tuesday, December 30th and 31st. I will be taking some time off, but instead of more best of shows, fancy way to say reruns, Dr. Lyerly and Mr. Bach here have generously said they will do live shows without me on Monday and Tuesday of next week. So thanks, kids.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That. Yeah, what are you guys going to do?
Oh, you'll just have to
awkward pause.
You'll just have to tune in for that. It's going to be a big surprise, right, Dr. Lyerly?
Yep. Yep. To us as well. Yep.
Really 5:55 comes along, and they're like, what do you got? I got nothing.
You guys just want to talk? I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
It's going to be great. Yeah, you guys will be great. The Greg and Kristen Show. I love it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Boom. So, Jane, I'm guessing you have a more complete answer to what you have coming up for Matt and Air on Air?
Joe Zepecki will be joining us at 10:33 to kick a couple things around. I think we're going to start off with our resident young person, Calvin, our producer, is annoyed. And yes, and he's feeling a little spicy about the way that some of the senior Democratic leadership just don't seem to want to give up their spots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Calvin finds that highly annoying.
I have feelings.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you don't have to be a resident young person to be frustrated by that. I'm the resident middle-aged person, and it's really annoying me.
But I just think for Democrats, and if they're going to move forward and increase their supporters, this Calvin's 26 years old. He's the demographic that they need to be talking to and listening to their concerns, because they're the Democrats who are coming up. So I think it will be an interesting discussion. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi, it's time, Nance. You have a lot of money. Go live a nice, rich, privileged life. For, you know, go ahead, go, yeah. go.
And
go.
Chuck and, Schumer, and, goodbye. Chuck Schumer, goodbye.
Yeah, Schumer and Jerry Connolly. And so we'll get into that as we kick off Matt and Air on Air right after 10 o'clock.
I was saying that one of the most important things out there in any professional life is succession planning. In other words, who's going to do the job after you, and are you setting them up, you know, to succeed? Or are you one of those, like, you're very selfish, like, it's mine when I'm all done, I'm burning the place down when I leave. And if when succession planning is done right, it can be satisfying to everybody. Find a way to have that, you know, like she had the speaker emerita position.
Yep.
Do that with committee chairs. Like, you're still our resident expert, but the chair needs to be somebody who's, you know, younger, energetic, knows the media world that we have today. And you don't get that with a 74-year-old cancer patient as the face of the oversight committee ranking member.
That's exactly it. So we will be kicking that around, like I said, at the start of the show at 10:06. We always wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, I think it's going to be Who's That Edition. It's a special holiday edition of Tisbet.
Tisbet. Before I let you go, favorite thing you're going to be doing over the holidays here?
Sleeping in.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, so nothing lucky is definitely an option. Yep.
Can you sleep in when you're so used to getting up?
Oh, absolutely, Kristen. Oh, my gosh. I got up in the middle of the night for decades, like at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have no problem sleeping until 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
I'm really,
amazing.
Really good at it.
That is awesome.
I consider sleeping in 7:30 now.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's a miracle when I do that. Kristen, of course, who, you know, is working around the clock, depending on babies and everything, is now done with a 10-day work shift and is going to be, you know, have the next few days to herself. We already know you sing to your boys in that chipmunk voice. Any other holiday tradition you want to share before we go?
We're all just going to be together. I've been apart from them so much over the last couple of years because of the work that I've been doing and, you know, standing up against the 1849 criminal abortion ban and running for office and all of that. And it's just going to be nice to just be together.
Isn't it, though?
That's lovely.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Jane Matt and Air, she and Greg will be back at 10 o'clock for an episode of Matt and Air on Air.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Kristen, thank you so much for everything. You and Greg have fun next week filling in. Safe travels, and thanks for all you do for us.
Thanks, Dad. You bet.
Thanks, Dad. Oh, man. Okay. Let me get back to, I'm so old now. I can't read these things. Thanks to today's guests for being here. And, oh, God, he's old and his voice is squeaking.
Time to change.
Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletter there and enjoy the rest of your Monday. Back for one more live show tomorrow. And then I'm off till January 2nd. But have fun today, and we'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.